When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Britain feels broken, but how do we fix it?
Westminster just doesn't seem to have the answers, but we have found some people who do.
Join me, journalist Becca Hudson.
And me, the former MP Ed Vasey, for How I'd Fix.
From the price of a pint to the housing crisis, this is the show where we take an alternative look at the problems plaguing the nation.
And hear practical solutions from those in the know. Catch new episodes of How I'd Fix wherever you get your podcasts. Rebuilding Britain starts here.
The home of common sense. This is Talk.
Now, I don't know about you, I still have a record player. Some people have now got into buying vinyl, more so than they ever did. You know, we've done away with CD players. Nobody's got one of those anymore. In my car, I can't even play a CD. Everything's online. Everything is on Spotify or whatever. But the top 10 albums of this century, believe it or not, Rumours by Fleetwood Mac, number one. Dark Side of the Moon, number two. Nevermind by Nirvana. What's the Story? Morning Glory by Oasis, number four. Thank you very much indeed. We might be able to... Can we get a blast of that? I don't know if we can. And the Queen's Greatest Hits, number five. But obviously, number four, What's the Story? Morning Glory. We'll tell you what the story is throughout this show, and we'll tell you what the story is right now, because Trevor Kavanagh is here, political columnist at The Sun. Trevor, very good morning to you. Welcome to your first inaugural appearance on Morning Glory with me, Mike Gray.
Good morning, Mike. Glad to be here.
Good to see you. Before we start, let me play you a little clip from my interview this morning that I did with Dave Penman. This is the guy who runs the very senior civil service union, the FDA, which is the one that represents the managerial class in the Home Office. Have a look at this. So you've only taken two judicial reviews in your entire history, both against the Tories.
Well, there's the government that's in
power. Well, yeah, but hang on, we've had plenty of governments. How old is the FDA?
It's 100 years old.
So in 100 years, you've only had two judicial reviews, both against Tory governments of recent times. Priti Patel, who wanted to send people to Rwanda, and now Rishi Sunak, who wants to send people to Rwanda. You can't sit there and try and convince me that you don't care about the government's policies. Come on.
Make a judicial review was nothing, Clipsdale was nothing to do with Rwanda. It was the fact she was found.
Yeah, it was. Priti Patel was the woman who came up with the Rwanda policy in the first place.
So you suggested that the whole issue around Priti Patel and bullying was about Rwanda.
I'm telling you, Dave, that this entire stitch-up is all to do with kiboshing the Tories. Come on! Are you going to tell me that you're actually a Tory-supporting member of the civil service, or are you going to tell me that you're completely and utterly neutral and you can't believe that the Tories are breaking international law and this is why you have to stand up to them?
Mike, we are completely politically impartial. The government...
Dave Penman, God bless him. I mean, you'd like to think, would you not, Trevor, that the days of the old union barons were very much behind us, but they clearly are not. We've got Mick Lynch still running the railway union, and we've got this guy, Dave Penman, who is literally like a refugee from the 1970s, isn't he?
Well, I think it was wonderful that you had the camera on him during that interrogation, because basically he was admitting it. The way he was smiling in response to your very accurate jibes says everything. I mean, this precious union, which is what we used to call the Brolly Brigade, the Mandarins, these precious, entitled people who think that Interpol is going to come racing across the channel and round them up and take them away for breaking international law. But in fact, what they should be doing is obeying the law of the land, which is passed by an elected British government.
Well, this is the thing. And it was very clear that whatever advice he's getting legally would not stand up in a court of law, because he kept saying repeatedly, you know, our civil service code requires us to obey the law. And I said, yeah, it requires you to obey the law of this country. And the Rwanda safety bill is now the law of this country. And it is not superseded by any nebulous international law or proposition made by a late night sort of judge in Strasbourg.
No, only in the fantasy imagination of the people who think they run the country.
Yeah.
And to a large extent, unfortunately, he's right. They do. They're the ones who've stymied the Rwanda deal and others, of course, not just them, ever since it was mooted. And that's why we've spent all these years allowing tens of thousands of migrants across the channel illegally. And that is now really under threat, and they don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, do you think, Trevor, that the events of the last few days, or certainly this last couple of weeks, have maybe changed something in terms of the way that we're going to be able to deal with these asylum seekers and these illegal migrants? Because, I mean, one migrant has now been sent to Rwanda, albeit that he was quite happy to go and he agreed to go and he was paid to go effectively. But they've been rounding people up since yesterday, albeit that they've lost quite a few thousand of them anyway. But, you know, they do seem determined, the Tories, to make this work and to make it happen.
Well, I think it is working. We're seeing signs of it already. We're seeing people actually being put into vans and taken away and put on the list for deportation as soon as it's possible. Mm. We're also seeing the overspill from this policy moving to the Irish border, where people are moving across the channel either in small boats, I mean the Irish Sea, or they're moving from Northern Ireland into the Republic. And the Irish government doesn't like it. But what they're doing is reaping the whirlwind of the European Union's policies, which is that once the boat people arrive, they have to put up with them.
Yeah. And isn't it funny that these were the people who were so dead set against having any kind of border, because they assured us that if they did have a border put in, it would be the return of the bad old days and the IRA would be shooting cameras, you know, and threatening people every 5 minutes, and UDA loyalists would be knocking around, you know, in gangs trying to sort of intimidate people. Now they're asking for police to actually patrol the border.
Yes, I know. It's wonderfully ironic, isn't it? The Taoiseach is now doing exactly what the previous Taoiseach warned that he would not tolerate, which is to put a border in between the Republic and the Northern Ireland province. So this is being hoisted by your own petard. It's a real vivid example of hypocrisy in action. And it is also a vivid example of the dividing lines which have now clearly emerged between Labour and this government. For the first time, we are really seeing Labour frantically trying to shore up a policy which isn't working. And the clear indication is that Keir Starmer is determined, once, if he wins the next election, to announce the equivalent of an amnesty. It won't be called an amnesty, but what he's going to do is speed up the process of allowing the people into the country, which is, of course, an open invitation to tens of thousands more to make that crossing illegally on dangerous boats.
Exactly right. Because there's a lot of confusion, once again, in the world headquarters of flip-flopper, isn't there? Because previously, Keir Starmer had said that they would rescind the Rwanda policy forthwith, that they would not send anybody there, that they would not continue with the Conservative Party policy. And yet they're now saying that they would continue with it, except for the fact that they would extend, as you call it, the amnesty to people who had come here more recently, after the bill was passed.
Yeah, so we're gradually seeing, in fact, quite subtly seeing, the Labour Party and Keir Starmer in particular being smoked out of their positions. Mm. And they're having to account for themselves. And it's not working. Anyone carefully studying what Starmer and Labour are saying shows that they have no idea what to do about the problem of illegal immigrants.
Yeah, exactly right. And I mean, until the first plane takes off, and, you know, it is, I mean, I'm surprised that I find myself saying this, but it does seem more likely now that the first plane will properly take off, doesn't it? In terms of, you know, the people that they've nominated to be sent to Rwanda. Because as I was saying earlier this week, if one man has been sent there because it is deemed to be a safe country, then surely so could everybody else be sent there.
Well, I think it's always been it's inevitable that a plane would take off, because without that, what does the Conservative Party and Rishi Sunak stand for?
Yeah.
They promised to do this for the last several years. And if they can't do it in the final year of a Tory government, what's the point? So, but what will be interesting, Mike, is how this pans out over the next 24 hours, because I'm sure the people are actually taking notice of this, possibly for the first time, as they have a ballot paper in their hands.
Yeah.
And I think that this is one of the absolute dividing lines between the two parties. It's one which the public cares passionately about, more than the economy, more than inflation. I think that they see a changing country, rapidly changing before their eyes, with all sorts of cultural and religious divisions, which are played out on the streets of London and other cities every week, and they don't like it.
Right. And people are beginning to put two and two together about the sorts of things that you've been writing about for a while and I've been talking about for a while, which is that, you know, one of the reasons there's a problem in the NHS is because we've got more people living here than we've ever had, you know, possibly 10 million more people here than we had 10 years ago. And so naturally, you know, everything is at breaking point. You know, the NHS is failing in an awful lot of ways. But part of the reason for that is because there's so many people seeking to get help on the NHS. The reason we don't have enough housing is because we've got too many people living here, more people than ever. And you know, all of these situations, all of these systems which are creaking and are full to the brim, even including the roads as well and the schools, is because of all the extra people that are here.
This is true, and it's a very bleak and depressing picture that you're painting, and one with which I agree, and I think probably the majority of voters and your listeners and viewers in particular would agree with every word of that. Everywhere they look, things are creaking, if not falling apart.
Yeah.
Schools are overcrowded and there's no discipline in the classrooms, and there's no healthcare available in many cases for people who are paying their taxes. And everywhere you...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The law and order is breaking down. You don't need to be an extreme right winger or just an ordinary voter can see these things in front of their very eyes.
Yes. Or even a white supremacist, as Wes Streeting might have declared it yesterday, but that was a very strange tweet that he put out.
The home of common sense. This is Talk.
You cannot imagine how ridiculous these pro-Palestinian protests have become. And similarly, have some of the protests in London become as well, where many Jewish people have said it's dangerous now to walk around the streets of London. They don't feel safe. They feel as if they are being put upon at every moment. And one of the things that we don't talk about enough in this country and in these protests and in the context of what's going on in the Middle East is the situation regarding the hostages. So many hostages were taken. I think over 250 hostages were taken on October the 7th. They were taken on a variety of transport. They were taken and butchered. Many of them were killed. Many of them were raped. Many of them were tortured. Many of them are still, of course, being held. And we're now going to speak to the cousin of Agam Berger, who's a 19-year-old girl who was taken on October the 7th. And she is still being held captive by Hamas under the streets of Gaza in what can only be described as horrific conditions. Let's talk now to Ashley Waxman-Bakshi. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. I think it's really important that we talk about people like Agam, who has been held since October the 7th. I was privileged enough to see an exhibition that was put on here in London called The Tunnels. And it was put together by people who had listened to some of the stories of those hostages who had been released. And it showed up the conditions under which many of these hostages are still being held under. Tell us, Ashley, your story with Agam and what it is you can know about how she is and where she is.
Okay. So hi, Mike. Thank you so much. Because for me, really, it is frustrating seeing how the whole world is now talking about university campuses and not talking about the real situation on the ground. Agam, beautiful 19-year-old child still, really, like same age as these university students. What we know about her is from the released hostages that came home in the first deal. And we know that she was in homes, she was in tunnels. We know about, not specifically about her, but we do know from released hostages that there was not only sexual abuse, but rape under gunpoint in captivity. These are things that have been going on for 210 days now. It's so simple. And for me, it is so frustrating to see. I grew up in Canada. I went to a university where there were protests against Israel 20 years ago.
Right.
But it's so frustrating for me to see how the world doesn't see the clear picture. Hamas just needs to surrender. The hostages need to come home. And there you go. There's the ceasefire. They have to stop asking Israel to continuously ceasefire. This is the fifth war we've had with Gaza, where Israel has always ceasefire. And it is Hamas that comes back with more rockets and more, you know, this isn't the first time they've taken hostages.
Right.
It's just, this is the first time they've taken so many, and they've taken children. There are still two young children, 1 year old and 4 years old, being held in Gaza. Right. Where are these left woke liberal values? This is the number one thing the world should be screaming for. It's put Hamas, let Hamas pay for what it did.
It is extraordinary. I find it, when it started, when these marches started in London, you know, and I'm born and raised in London, I've lived in New York, you know, I've never been to Israel. I'd like to come to Israel and visit one day, I will. But, you know, I find it amazing that these people were marching in favour of a free Palestine and seemingly without a care in the world for what had happened on October the 7th. And that's just got worse and worse and worse. And I've got, I think, some footage here that we can look at of when Agam was actually removed from where she was and put in the back of a truck, you know, and presumably like not really ever to be seen again, which puts it into raw, really raw perspective, I think. And it must be awful for you guys, Ashley, as members of her family, to even be thinking about whether you will see her again, never mind when. And we know as well, don't we, from the release of the hostages, that the accusations of rape and sexual assault are very real, because many of the women who came back to Israel were pregnant.
And, well, I can't speak for that because I don't know of that personally. But it's crazy to see how women who are coming in front of the cameras and being so brave and courageous and speaking about the rape that they endured in captivity in the West, like you said, these overly privileged white kids in America are not, you know, saying that this is made up, that this is propaganda. So why is it Me Too unless you're a Jewish woman, unless you were taken hostage by a terrorist organization? And you know what I find crazy is that where you don't see protests against Israel? It's actually in countries like Iran that are attacking Israel. Us in the Middle East, we understand where we live. We understand that the root problem of Hamas is not political. It's not geographical. This isn't about borders. This is a radical fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization. They don't care about freeing the Palestinian people. Me as an Israeli, as a Jewish Israeli, I care more about the safety of innocent Palestinians than they do. That is the truth.
Yes.
And the world has been manipulated. And I'm glad to see that there are still people who see through that, who haven't fallen into it. It is absolutely insane that these college campuses, wherever you're looking, all these so-called pro-Palestinian rallies, which are actually pro-Hamas and pro-terrorism and anti-West rallies, they don't care at all about the hostages. In fact, we saw they were ripping down signs. They don't believe it. They say it's propaganda. I am here as a cousin of a 19-year-old girl to look in the eyes of every single person in the UK and to say, these are real people. We are real people. Yes. Nobody deserves to be taken hostage. It doesn't matter what country they were born in. It doesn't matter what their religion is. Nobody should be taken held hostage and used as currency in an evil, evil war.
No, exactly right. And there is currently an offer, is there not, on the table to Hamas from Israel, which includes the release of all hostages and a temporary cessation, not a ceasefire as such, but a halt to the...
Sorry, I have to correct you. Not all hostages. We're talking about between 30 and 40 of 133.
Yeah.
And in return for them, Israel would be releasing hundreds of terrorists with blood on their hands.
Yes.
And Hamas is continuing to say no.
Right.
It is Hamas that doesn't want the ceasefire. Israel
right.
wants a ceasefire.
Yes. Well, similarly, Hamas doesn't want a two-state solution either. And in fact, I don't think there's that many people in Israel that want a two-state solution. But do you have any knowledge whatsoever, Ashley, of whether... Agam has been, you know, sold off to another one of the, say, Islamic Jihad groups, or you don't really know locations of where she might be?
I don't know. Obviously, we know nothing. They, you know, the basic things like a list, providing a list of who is alive and who is dead.
Mm.
Even that Hamas has failed to do. Despite the fact that we sent in, there was an agreement signed in Paris just a few weeks ago where we allowed for medical supplies to go into our hostages. We have no proof it even arrived to our hostages. And like I'm saying, basic humanitarian, basic Geneva Convention, you know, in warfare, they're not supplying. They are not giving us any information. We know nothing. What I am sure of is that it is so easy for Hamas to lie. They are constantly lying, and so many people are believing these lies.
Yeah, which I find absolutely staggering. Ashley, I wish you the best, and hopefully there'll be some light at the end of the tunnel, which she's currently being held in. Ashley Waxman-Bakshi there, speaking on behalf of the family of Agam Berger, a 19-year-old girl who was taken hostage back in October the 7th and is still being held somewhere under the streets of Hamas. Absolutely shocking, shocking story. Let's talk to Steve Elliott, because there's something very bad going on in this country at the moment, and it's been nicknamed Dine and Dash, because people are going into restaurants, usually mob-handed, say 5, 6, maybe 7 people, ordering loads of food, ordering loads of drinks, and then basically disappearing off without paying for them. In this particular instance, we're going to talk to Steve Elliott, who's the operations manager at Revived Inns, because the most recent case of this involved a bill for something like 270-plus quid for Prosecco, for Red Bull and vodka, for all sorts of food as well. And people are doing this now more and more, and it's a worry. Steve, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the morning show, the breakfast show, Morning Glory.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you. What's going on? Why has this suddenly become something that we're seeing, certainly reported more? I don't know if you can tell me that it's a new trend, but it looks like it's a new trend.
I think it's always happened. We're just giving it a tag now with this Dine and Dash.
Right.
And of course, there is an argument that the publicity encourages people to do it. That's a good idea. Let's see if we can do that.
Yes. But I mean, how
easy... It doesn't happen to us a lot.
How easy is it to do? Because you'd have to be pretty brazen. From what I can gather, mostly it happens when they present a credit card and then perhaps it doesn't go through and they say, oh, I'll go and get another one from the car or something.
Well, that's exactly what happened on this incident. Yeah, there was a group of 5 people and 4 of them went outside. One stayed to pay. His credit card didn't work. He said, I'll go outside to get another one. And of course, they did a runner.
Right. And I mean, it's not fair on the staff, presumably, because there's not much that they can do. Has anybody ever had one of these situations where they've tried to do that and then somebody tries to stop them?
It has happened, yeah. But then they make an excuse, you know, I've got a credit card at home. I'll go and get it and I'll be back. You'll see me later. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And this was in a pub, or a restaurant, I should say, in Eastbourne, on the south coast. Is it
correct.
Prevalent in particular areas? Is it something you can track?
Absolutely not. Not for us. You know, we run 9 pubs across Sussex,
right.
And they're all in rural areas, quite good areas.
Yeah.
That not the sort of thing you'd expect to happen, to be honest.
No. And I mean, it's almost as though they're targeting places that look like they can easily get away from with a car park.
Maybe. Yeah. 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 You can almost smell them coming because, you know, they order lots of food off the menu. They often don't eat it all. They'll order another dish before they finish that one. Right. They drink lots more than is normal. And you can almost see it coming.
Right.
But there isn't anything you could do about it. You can't say, sorry, you can't order anymore because we think you're going to do a runner. Or can you pay now? You know, you just can't do it. You just have to think, well, I hope this one's going
to
be
all
right.
I mean, I suppose you could ask people to pay up front, you know, if they have to order food and, you know, like, or they have to open a tab or something like that. Can you do that?
Yeah, I think we give up when we have to do that. It's a shame, isn't it? It should not be necessary to do that.
Well, it shouldn't be. But, I mean, there's plenty of bars in London that do that. You know, if you want to buy, you know, if you want to have, you pay for the drinks and the food as you go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But that's in London. You know, we're in a nice rural area with a nice class of person, one would have thought.
Generally speaking, yeah. And I mean, if you ever get to catch these people, if the police catch them, what's the situation with you? Can you get the money back? Do you have insurance to cover it?
I think it's unlikely that we'll ever get the money back. We don't have insurance that that would cover us. So I think it's unlikely that we'll ever get the money back. But do you know what? It's not so much about that. It's the principle that somebody would do that, really.
Yeah. Yes.
And obviously, I can't say too much because the police are investigating. But when we put the CCTV images up online, we were inundated with messages from other local businesses and people that knew them.
Right. So it's a specific group of people who are doing it, probably more likely than it is a sort of a group of people who just decide to do it once in a while. These guys do it all the time.
Exactly. So our aim was really to make sure they've run out of venues to go to. You know, everybody knows about them.
Well, certainly if there are other places like yours and they see these characters coming, they could just refuse to serve them, presumably.
They're going to be certainly more cautious, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a shame, isn't it? Steve, good to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed. Steve Elliott, the operations manager of Revived Inns. And we'll post the picture on social media so that you can see who these people are as well. Because, of course, that is where you want to be able to stop these people from even having the opportunity to do it.
The home of common sense. This is Talk.